God bless you in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. The recording I did this morning did not happen. So I am in my office right now to do this morning's teaching for you. Today is Sunday, September the 29th, 2024. Years ago, I posted an article on the website, confidenceandjoy.com. The article was entitled, Bewailing Virginity, and it was concerning a passage of scripture from the book of Judges. I recently revisited that topic, and I am going to post an article tomorrow entitled, Bewailing Virginity Revised. I've gained some additional insight into that portion of scripture, and so I'm doing a revision of that article. And today, a little different, I'll be reading portions of the article that'll be posted. And I mentioned this morning that we are kind of a unique bunch of Christians. We are concerned with the accuracy of God's word. And as such, we put time and effort into that. And in the foundational Walking in God's Power class, we learn the basic keys as to how all scripture interprets itself so that we can gain an accurate understanding of the scriptures. Not all Christians are interested in diving into the scriptures maybe like we do. We're kind of like those folks in Berea. They receive the word with all readiness of mind and search the scriptures daily whether those things were so. And we are concerned about the accuracy of the scriptures so that we can understand it. And many of those keys and principles on how the scripture interprets itself are involved in this discussion about Judges chapter 11, including understanding Bible culture as well. Before I get to that article, if you would turn to Hebrews chapter 11, before I share with you a portion of the article that'll be coming out tomorrow. Hebrews chapter 11, towards the end of that chapter, and in verse 39 of Hebrews 11, it says, "And these all," referring to the folks mentioned in Hebrews 11, "and these all, having obtained a good report through faith," or through believing, "received not the promise," you know, they didn't see the Savior come, "but they received a good report through believing, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect." And then chapter 12, verse 1, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Let us do like they did and believe God." The people that are listed in Hebrews 11 are called a great cloud of witnesses. They all received a good report through believing. Some people have referred to the folks in Hebrews 11 as the Hall of Fame of believers. Chapter 11 lists by name many Old Testament believers, and one of those is a man named Jephthah. And if you go back to chapter 11 and look in verse 32, in 11:32, it says, "And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets." So Jephthah, it says Jephthah here in the New Testament, and when we get to Judges, it's Jephthah. He is one of those listed in the book of Hebrews in chapter 11, that great cloud of witnesses. So we're going to Judges chapter 11, back in the Old Testament, right after the book of Joshua. Judges chapter 11. We're not going to read the whole record of Jephthah. If you want to get some background about him, you can read the whole record, but we're concerned with a specific portion of the book the chapter 11 in the book of Judges. We're going to look at 2 points here. Number one, did Jephthah offer his only daughter as a human sacrifice? And number two, what is bewailing virginity? And the first thing we're going to do is read the passage here in Judges chapter 11, beginning with verse 29. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah, and he passed over Gilead and Manasseh, and passed over Mizpeh of Gilead. And from Mizpeh of Gilead he passed over unto the children of Ammon. And Jephthah vowed a vow unto the Lord, and said, If thou shalt without fail deliver the children of Ammon into mine hands, then it shall be that whatsoever cometh forth of the doors of my house to meet me when I return in peace from the children of Ammon shall surely be the Lord's, and I will offer it up for a burnt offering. So Jephthah passed over unto the children of Ammon to fight against them, and the Lord delivered them into his hands. And he smote them from Aroer even till thou come to Minnith, even 20 cities, and unto the plain of the vineyards, with a very great slaughter. Thus the children of Ammon were subdued before the children of Israel. And Jephthah came to Mizpeh unto his house, and behold, his daughter came out to meet him with timbrels and with dances, and she was his only child. Beside her he had neither son nor daughter. And it came to pass when he saw her that he rent his clothes and said, Alas, my daughter, thou hast brought me very low, and thou art one of them that trouble me, for I have opened my mouth unto the Lord, and I cannot go back. And she said unto him, My father, if thou hast opened thy mouth unto the Lord, do to me that which hath proceeded out of thy mouth. For as much as the Lord hath taken vengeance for thee of thine enemies, even of the children of Ammon. And she said unto her father, Let this thing be done for me. Let me alone 2 months, that I may go up and down upon the mountains, and bewail my virginity, I and my fellows. And he said, Go. And he sent her away for 2 months, and she went with her companions, and bewailed her virginity upon the mountains. And it came to pass at the end of 2 months that she returned unto her father, who did with her according to his vow, which he had vowed, and she knew no man. And it was a custom in Israel that the daughters of Israel went yearly to lament the daughter of Jephthah the Gittite 4 days in a year. That's the record that we're concerned with here, and now from the revised article. And I'm going to read some portions of the revised article, and I'll be adding some other comments for additional insight as well. So, did Jephthah actually offer his daughter as a literal burnt offering to the Lord, meaning have her killed? Verse 29 is often overlooked. And if you'll look at that verse 29, it says, The Spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah. Now, to serious Bible students, that speaks very loudly. Jephthah, having the Spirit of the Lord, walked with and for God. And keeping in mind that God recognized and listed Jephthah with the great believers of the Old Testament, Jephthah would have never, ever considered a human sacrifice. In the Old Testament law, that was absolutely forbidden. If you will keep your marker here, and we're coming right back, but look at Deuteronomy chapter 12, if you would. Deuteronomy chapter 12, to see this, where God's word is very plain concerning human sacrifice. In Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 30, it says, Take heed to thyself, that thou be not snared by following them. We're in Deuteronomy 12, verse 30. Take heed to thyself, that thou be not snared by following them, after that they be destroyed from before thee, and that thou inquire not after their gods, saying, how did these nations serve their gods? God's saying, do not do like these pagans do with their gods. Even so will I do likewise. So God said, don't be going around saying, how did these nations serve their gods? Even so will I do likewise. No, God says, don't do that. Thou shalt not do so unto the Lord thy God. For every abomination to the Lord, which he hateth, have they done unto their gods. For even their sons and their daughters, they have burnt in the fire to their gods. Very clear, very plain. Back to Judges 11, if you will. Knowing that Jephthah had the Spirit of the Lord upon him, and that God included him with the list of great believers in Hebrews 11, it's troubling to think that he would have disobeyed such a very specific commandment of the Lord, or even considered it. Are we to think that Jephthah, in asking God for his help, vowed that if he was successful, he would do something that God had absolutely forbidden? And yet, it says in the word that Jephthah did with her according to his vow, which he had vowed. Where is that? That is in verse 39. He did according to the vow which he had vowed. A careful look at verses 38 to 40 indicate that he did not offer his daughter as a human sacrifice. In the article now, I share some stuff from E.W. Bullinger. I'm really grateful for the help in this article from Dave Bailey, who helped me put this together. And I had noticed something that Bullinger had put in his Bible, the Companion Bible. Maybe you've heard of it. And then Dave was kind enough to share with me some resources, including a book that Bullinger wrote called Great Cloud of Witnesses, in which he has a chapter about Jephthah. The great Bible researcher, Dr. E.W. Bullinger, has some very interesting and noteworthy insight into this section of Scripture in his Bible, the Bullinger Bible. He also included a chapter on this passage of Scripture in his book, Great Cloud of Witnesses, and that entire chapter is included later in this post. On the article that's coming out tomorrow, I have printed up at the end of the article this whole chapter that Bullinger did on Jephthah. So verse 31 tells us the vow that Jephthah made. It shall be that whatsoever cometh forth of the doors of my house to meet me when I return in peace from the children of Ammon shall surely be the Lord's, and I will offer it up for a burnt offering. Bullinger points out that the word "and" in that verse can also be translated as "or," and that Hebrew word is translated as "or" in many other places. That would mean the verse would be rendered, whatsoever cometh forth of the doors of my house to meet me when I return in peace from the children of Ammon shall surely be the Lord's, or I will offer it up for a burnt offering. Bullinger concludes that Jephthah's intention was either a burnt offering, which would, of course, had to have been an animal sacrifice, or it would be in giving someone to the Lord. From the chapter I mentioned that Bullinger did in his book, Great Cloud of Witnesses, Bullinger wrote the following, quote, it is recorded that Jephthah did with her according to his vow, which he had vowed, and she knew no man. Now, what has this to do with a burnt offering, one way or the other? But it has everything to do with the former part of his vow in dedicating her to Jehovah. This seems to be conclusive. It has nothing to do with a sacrificial death, but it has to do with a dedicated life. He's talking about she knew no man. He said it has nothing to do with a sacrificial death, but it has to do with a dedicated life. She was dedicated to a perpetual virginity. To what else can the custom of Israel refer to later in that chapter, when the daughters of Israel went yearly to lament the daughter of Jephthah, the Gileadite, 4 days in a year. End of quote. And then I wrote, some have wondered how Jephthah could have spoken such a vow, having only one daughter. Well, people assume the only people in his house were his wife and daughter, but no one really knows how many people were in his household. And, you know, something else that's interesting, it's not in the article, I don't know, maybe later this afternoon I'll add it into the article, but when making his vow back in verse 31, whatsoever cometh forth of the doors of my house, you know, when we read the word house, we automatically think of the houses that we have here today. We don't know what his house looked like. You know, our houses, we have a front door and a back door, right? That's our houses. But what did his house look like? We don't know. And furthermore, the word doors can also be translated gates. So here now is some, I'm back to the article. Here is some insight on this record, including bewailing virginity from the teachings of Bishop K.C. Pillai. Quote, now this does not mean that the person will be killed and burned on the altar, as many have thought. God has never required that mankind bring human sacrifices. A person who is dedicated to the Lord is sent to serve in the temple, and they will never marry. It's like the nuns and priests, which we see in the Roman Catholic Church today. And the basis for this is found in Leviticus. And then Bishop Pillai quotes Leviticus 27, you don't need to turn there, but Leviticus 27:2 says, and this is regarding people that are dedicated to the Lord, speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, when a man shall make a singular vow, the persons shall be for the Lord by thy estimation. Now, this morning when I was teaching this, I stopped for a moment, and I'll stop here. This is not in the article. This is a little sidebar, because sometimes people, when they realize that God, concerning human sacrifice, that it was absolutely forbidden, sometimes people say, well, what about Abraham? And you know what I'm talking about. In Genesis, where God had told Abraham to sacrifice his only son, Isaac. Well, keep a marker here, and please go to Hebrews chapter 11 again. Hebrews chapter 11. You know that God told Abraham to bring Isaac, his only son, and bring him for a sacrifice unto the Lord. You know, I'll tell you something, and I said this morning as well. The relationship that God had with Abraham was so deep and so unique. It's hard for us to fathom that relationship. You know, Abraham's the only person in the Bible that God said that Abraham was his friend. Abraham didn't say, God is my friend, but God Almighty, the creator of the heavens and the earth, said, Abraham is my friend. That's pretty deep, isn't it? And when you look at the scriptures concerning Abraham, you see that, like it says in Galatians, that God communicated the gospel to Abraham. So, not the mystery, but the gospel. And Abraham knew, therefore, because God communicated the gospel to Abraham, Abraham knew of the coming Savior. Abraham knew that the Savior would die for the redemption of mankind. And Abraham knew that God would raise him from the dead, the Savior. God communicated the gospel to Abraham. And in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17, by faith, by believing, Abraham, when he was tried, he was proved, God tested him. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. And also, we'll look at Genesis chapter 22, which is where this record of Abraham and Isaac is. In Genesis chapter 22, if you would go there. Genesis 22. So God told Abraham to bring Isaac up to this particular mountain and offer him for a sacrifice. And Abraham was about to do so, and in Genesis 22, verse 10, "And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son, and the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And then, you know, Abraham looked up and there was a ram, and that's what they used for the sacrifice. The point is the relationship with Abraham and God was so deep. We can't fully ever understand it. We can't fathom it. And in the book, in the Footsteps of the Prophets, Kings, and Believers, there's a wonderful section in there called An Introductory Study of Abraham, the Friend of God, that gives so much detail about Abraham, and yet, you know, that relationship was pretty big, and I'm glad that study's called An Introductory Study. So we're going back now to Judges chapter 11. I wanted to just add that about Abraham, because sometimes people, when they realize that Jephthah did not do a human sacrifice because it was absolutely forbidden, sometimes they go, well, wait a minute, what about Abraham? So now you have a little more understanding of that. So we're back to Judges chapter 11. And I'm going back to the article now that I wrote in the revised article, and it will be published on the website tomorrow. But from Bishop K.C. Pillai again, he said, "This does not mean she would be killed, because human sacrifice has always been forbidden. Jephthah gave her as a living sacrifice to serve God for the rest of her life. He gave her to the temple to serve there. Jephthah was not going to kill his daughter and offer a burnt sacrifice. Once having served in the temple, the servant lived and died there and never left. The father followed through with his pledge to God. The daughter wanted to see her father keep his promise, so she was willing to sacrifice all else. Jephthah could not go back on his vow to God because the vow to God was salted. If something is said to God, it cannot be broken. The daughter was brought up to be obedient and treated her parents as unto God." And then Bishop Pillai continues on with Bible culture, which we need to have in our understanding for a number of places in the Scriptures. "Any virgin who knew no man and was not married when she decided to go to the temple and serve the Lord, she has to go for 2 months to the mountains with her girlfriends to bewail her virginity. In the mountains, they have prayer meetings, consecration meetings, seeing and visiting relatives and friends, saying her goodbyes to the pleasures and things of the world. This was a common occurrence when women were preparing to enter the service of the temple. They receive all their friends and relatives and bewail the loss of their worldly life. Jephthah's daughter would have been married and given Jephthah the joy of grandchildren and heirs. All this was now out of the question, since Jephthah had made the vow. When the virgin is brought to the door of the temple at the end of the 2 months, she is prepared to enter the service of the temple. Her hair is shaved off to signify that she's laying aside the glory of her head so that she may serve God. Her fashionable clothes are exchanged for a white robe, which is the symbol of purity and sanctity." And we'll read now verse 39. "And it came to pass, We're in Judges 11, verse 39. And it came to pass at the end of 2 months that she returned unto her father, who did with her according to his vow, which he had vowed. And she knew no man. And it was a custom in Israel that the daughters of Israel went yearly to lament the daughter of Jephthah, the Gileadite, 4 days in a year. Bishop Pillai goes on, this word lament is a misplaced word. Some of you may have Bibles with a marginal note saying that this word should be talk with. I have a marginal note in my Bible with that. It seems strange to me that the truth is in the margin and the lie is left in the text. Bishop Pillai has a way of just saying it like it is. He goes on, when the women go to visit her in the temple, they would say, how wonderful you are. We wish we were like you. You don't have the sins or pleasures of the world to bother you. You, by choice, are separated from the things of this world. God must be loving and honoring you for the sacrifice you have made and the humiliation you go through. Thereby, they comfort her by praising her. And that's some insight from Bishop Pillai. In the article, I give the conclusion. In conclusion, Bullinger, as well as many Bible scholars, agree with Bishop Pillai regarding the word lament. They agree that the word lament does not mean to mourn, but rather it has the meaning of conversation, and more specifically, honor and praise. As a final note, it would appear Bishop Pillai was not aware of the insight that Bullinger presents in his Bible regarding the word and in verse 31. I wasn't until recently. But both Bullinger and Pillai agree, as I do and as many other Bible students do, that Jephthah did not offer his daughter up as a human sacrifice. Then the article ends, and there are some resources as well as that full chapter by Bullinger. Something else that's not in the article that someone brought up at the end of the teaching this morning about when Jephthah made his vow in verse 31, and it says that whatsoever cometh forth of the doors or the gates of my house, he didn't say whosoever. And Bullinger in his Bible makes a note that the word whatsoever is masculine. And so the sacrifices they did with animals were always males. So that's another interesting point. In closing out this teaching, maybe Jephthah regretted making such a vow. It seems like he did, because he was very sad. He certainly wasn't expecting the first thing to come from his house was going to be his daughter. I'm sure he regretted saying such a vow. But being a man that God included with the great believers of the Old Testament, he never would have asked God for God's help and then promised in return to do a human sacrifice. Not at all. But even so, this man of faith carried out what God's word says in the book of Deuteronomy in chapter 23. And that's where we'll close, in Deuteronomy chapter 23. Deuteronomy 23:21 says, when thou shalt vow a vow unto the Lord thy God, thou shalt not slack to pay. In other words, if you vow a vow to God, you do it, for the Lord thy God will surely require it of thee. And it would be sin in thee. To make a vow to God and not do it would be a sin. Verse 22, but if thou shalt forbear to vow, well, it shall be no sin to in thee. It's not a sin to not make a vow. And then verse 23, that which is gone out of thy lips, thou shalt keep and perform, even a free will offering, according as thou hast vowed unto the Lord thy God, which thou hast promised with thy mouth. So if you're going to make a vow to God, then you do it. Absolutely. And perhaps you're might remember verse, I think it's in Proverbs. It says, be swift to hear and slow to speak. Great to make a vow to God, but if you do, then you do it. You carry it out, no matter what. Even if it's your daughter that you're going to have to bring to the temple in service for the rest of her life. And that's what Jephthah did. So I'm blessed to make this recording because this morning the recording didn't work. So thank you for listening. I'll pray. Father God, thank you for your wonderful word, for so many great examples of believers that we can see in your word in both the Old Testament and the New Testament that encourage us, Father, to trust you, to believe you. And Father, how thankful we are for the greatest example ever of believing you, our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, I pray for those who would listen to this teaching today, that you would bless their lives, and Father, that we can each day continue to trust you. And I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, amen.